Hello, this is Monocle Reads. I'm Georgina Godwin. And my guest today is Bonnie Kemsky. She's born in Okinawa, but raised in the US. Bonnie initially trained in modern dance and ballet in New York City before travelling to Japan to study the Zen Buddhist art form of Chanoyu. Following this, she undertook a PhD at the Royal College of Art, becoming a ceramicist and researcher. She's written two books on ceramics, the latest being Kintsugi, The Poetic Mend, which explores the unique tradition of repairing pottery with a visible, often gold leaf covered join. Bonnie, thanks so much for coming on the show. I wonder if you could just tell us from the practical side. I mean, your book introduces us to Kintsugi's techniques and materials. Tell us a little bit about that.
Lots of people think that Kintsugi is actually about ceramics, but it's actually not a ceramic technique. It's actually a lacquer technique that's used for ceramics. So that's the first thing to understand about it. The lacquer, Japanese lacquer in particular, is used as an adhesive and also as a filler. And then the gold, which is not actually gold flake, sometimes it's gold flake, but usually it's powdered gold and sometimes tiny little balls, are then sprinkled onto the seam where the wet lacquer is, and it sticks. And that's then polished. So that's why it looks like it's solid gold. So you have this piece that's been put back together, and every seam is lined in gold.
What's the history of Kintsugi?
Well, it's not quite as clear as you'd think it might be. In Japan, it's almost a non-thing. When I went to Japan to do the research for this book, I was really struck with how few people knew very much about it. So we were seeing some of the most famous, say, Japanese tea bowls in Japan that have Kintsugi repairs. And the curators had no idea when the repairs were done or who had done them. So we think it developed in around 1600, thereabouts. And it was really about four different things that came together. First, you need to have ceramics to have Kintsugi. You need to have the urushi, which is the Japanese lacquer. And then you need to have the gold. And then the final ingredient is Japanese tea ceremony, because without that, that was really the impetus for the development. And originally it was done by artists who work in what's called makie, which is sprinkled gold pictures. And that's because they were the lacquer artists. And it would have been a sideline for them. It would have been their bread and butter money, they wouldn't have advertised that they did Kintsugi. Kintsugi was just a sideline to bring in a little extra money, or because they were told to by their sponsors or patrons. So it developed in the Edo period, it became much bigger and became much more established. There was already an aesthetic for the broken and the imperfect and the irregular in Japan because of tea ceremony. And so the idea of a broken object that's been repaired, instead of hiding the repair, as we might do in the West, to make something as good as new, if you already accept that things are broken and that those broken things or those imperfect things can be beautiful, then why not highlight or accentuate that brokenness?
Which brings us onto the whole sort of philosophical aspect of it, at Kintsugi as a tool for overcoming tragedy.
Yes, absolutely. For me, that was what really drew me to it. I mean, I'd always had quite a strong connection since I first came across Kintsugi when I was studying tea ceremony in Japan as a young woman. But it was decades later before I actually began to articulate why it was quite important to me. And I realized it was because it was a transformative metaphor, really. It was a way of seeing a pot that had been repaired and feeling that applied to everything, not just to that pot, but to you as well. So, you know, in the very ordinary act of repair, specifically in Kintsugi repair, we're offered the opportunity to experience an extraordinary sense of hope and beauty. And it gives us this metaphor of loss and recovery and breakage and restoration and how to overcome and make something better from tragedy. So no, it's very important, the metaphor, and it's a very active and transformative metaphor. It's not just something you look at and think, oh, isn't that pretty?
Mm. And do you think it's a uniquely Japanese metaphor?
No, I think the metaphor is universal. I think that kintsugi is distinctly Japanese. I don't think it could have developed anywhere else because of the combination of the materials, the skills, and the philosophy. But it has fallen in recent years on very fertile ground here in the West. So we were ready for a message like this. So if you Google kintsugi today, the first thing that will come up were loads of pop psychology and spiritual healing sites and things who are using just the metaphor of kintsugi. By the way, a lot of those sites give very inaccurate information about what kintsugi is. So, but yeah, so it's come over here and the message is universal.
Mm. And do you think that it has special resonance right now in this time of pandemic? Yeah. Because, of course, we have all these new post-corona priorities, sustainability, and perhaps it's about healing powers of working with your hands.
It really is. It really does apply to us. And first, let me say that in Japan, where they have a lot of earthquakes, of course, they have cracks from earthquakes, so that's they live with cracks. But in addition to that, after an earthquake, the demand for kintsugi repairs really shoots up. And not just where the earthquake was, but from all over the country, because it's kind of a collective surge to repair and get back to normal and make things better than they were before. And I think that we have the same need now with the dreaded COVID. I mean, we want to do the same thing. We want to get back to normal, but we also feel this need to make it better. Let's not just go back to the way we were. Let's improve things. You know, let's make those golden seams in our lives stand out proud and shine, you know.
Mm, mm. I mean, as you say, it has this huge impact on things like healing and relationships. Is that through the physical act or because perhaps one's taking time to think through the imperfection and putting it all back together?
Yeah, I mean, kintsugi is a very slow art. If you actually take something to a kintsugi-shi, which is a person who does the kintsugi repairs, it can take many, many months because of the use of the urushi, basically, the use of the lacquer. It takes a long time to cure and it takes a long time to put together. It's very slow. It's very quiet. It takes a lot of focus to get it right. So yeah, it is that way. And in addition to that, because of new materials, there's now a very big sort of what in Japan they call kani kintsugi. Kani just means easy. So kintsugi using glues instead of the lacquer, which is of course you might not know, but the lacquer is poisonous. It causes a very strong skin reactions in about 90% of the people in the world. So you can use glues instead. And there is something very special about repairing your own works, your own things that have broken. Mm. Say that wonderful teapot that your grandmother always used whenever you were over there to make an afternoon tea for you. And that you inherit that teapot and then say your partner breaks it, you know, and you may feel you'll never forgive your partner for breaking that. But you can, of course, put that teapot back together. And the very act of doing that is kind of a repair emotionally as well as repairing the teapot itself.
Mm. I mean, you say in the book, the story of the pot is found in the lines of the break. There's no such thing as a random crack or break in ceramics. Just unpick that for me a bit.
Well, first off, of course, ceramics is about the alignment of clay particles. So depending on how a piece has been made, how it breaks may be determined by how it's been made. So if it's been thrown on the wheel, you might find different breaks than if it were built using slabs of clay or coils of clay. So that break itself may indicate something about that original piece. But then in addition to that, you have, why did it break? Was it dropped on a hard surface? Was it thrown at something? Was it broken in anger? Was it broken in an earthquake? you know, or was it in a car accident? You know, all of these things, they all come together to form that break for that piece. And of course, that break will be different from any other break. Even if you had two identical ceramic pieces, say you've got your IKEA plates and all six of them break, fall on the floor and break, when they're put back together, they will never be the same IKEA plates again. Each one will become an individual item. Mm. It will become a new item. Once a kintsugi piece, once something has been kintsugi repaired, it's no longer what it was. That what it was is gone. It becomes a new entity.
Now, obviously, you're a practicing artist. You do this yourself. But I wonder how difficult it is to communicate this artistic practice through writing, to communicate any art, really, through writing.
Well, first, I have to correct you there. I'm actually a ceramicist. I make ceramic sculptures. I'm not a kintsugishi. I don't do kintsugi repairs. And the reason that is so is because it's a very, very highly skilled job. The people who do kintsugi have mostly trained and practiced for 10 years in it. And if I were to do it, I would never do it that well. And I'm the kind of person who would want to do it well. So I don't do if I have something I need kintsugi repaired, I have it repaired by a professional. That doesn't mean I'm against self, you know, repairing things on your own. I think that's a brilliant idea as well, but they're separate things. But in terms of how you portray the artwork or the feeling of things, I actually think the way to draw people in is to give your own experience. So in the book, because kintsugi is about stories, every pot has a story, I decided to include my own story of researching kintsugi and speaking to people about kintsugi. And so it's this kind of experiential writing that I think has been quite important for me as a way of communicating how important and the beauty of the object, rather than just giving a rather dry account of the history. Instead, we go and interview people and I talk about that interview. You know, I give the story of that interview. And I think that's been quite successful in this book. I'm quite pleased with that.
And it kind of echoes the art itself, kind of stitching together beautifully all of these different disparate parts.
That's right. Because there is one kind of kintsugi, because kintsugi comes in many forms and styles. And one of them is called yobitsugi, and that means patchwork kintsugi or patchwork joining. And with yobitsugi, you take pieces from another pot to fill a gap in the original broken pot. So you can imagine you end up with this patchwork quality to the piece. So as you say, you know, that this whole book was sort of a yobitsugi of bringing together my experience in ceramics, my experience looking at kintsugi, and my experience in writing. It all came together for that. And in tea ceremony, of course, which is the beginning point for it for me.
Yeah. Finally, Bonnie, I want to talk about your current project, Into the Embrace. Tell us about that.
That is work that came out of my PhD into touch and ceramics. My feeling is that I make ceramic sculptures to be held, to be hugged. They are actually cast hugs. So I'm going to describe how it's made, because otherwise you won't get a sense of it. I take a huge latex balloon and I fill it with plaster, and I sit in the studio and I hug that plaster until it sets. And then from that, so it's made entirely using my body, not using my eyes. And then from that, I make a finished piece that has a texture on it, so your hands will engage. So my feeling is that through this kind of tactile experience, a comforting tactile experience, we can find comfort in a frightening world. I think that, and I've seen this again and again with people who interact with my work, you can get a kind of a moment where you feel a real peace and a real sort of acceptance and just pleasure as well. And I mean, we actually need hugs right now because we can't give them to each other.
Absolutely. That's so true. And we need the philosophical time and the beauty that you give us through this lovely book. Bonnie, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, Georgina.
Kintsugi, The Poetic Mend by Bonnie Kemsky is published by Herbert Press and it's out now. You've been listening to Monocle Reads, thanks to the producer Nora Hull and to our researcher Charlie Filmer-Court. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thanks for listening.